Welcome to Manager Tools and Career Tools. As you've probably learned, we're surging a series of casts that will help you in your career and addressing the economic forces facing us all. We're doing that daily over the course of the next couple of weeks rather than simply releasing only two podcasts a week. Today, our cast is the first half, part one, of layoff signs. Companies start doing things that if you're paying attention, you can get an indication that a layoff might be coming, or perhaps a furlough might be coming. You might assume that many companies or all companies have already done what they're going to do, but senior leaders are constantly revising their projections. Depends on what kind of debt they can take on. There are all kinds of factors that go into this, and we shouldn't be assuming in late April or May that there won't be further layoffs, further furloughs, and so on. If you're not in that senior group that makes that decision, you ought to be paying attention to the signs that are occurring around you. So here we go. Layoff signs, part one. Folks, a real quick advertisement here. We try to keep these to a minimum. We've just launched a brand new conference type, the Virtual Effective Manager Training. It's our normal effective manager training delivered over Zoom. So if you're international, or you can't travel, obviously, during COVID, we still want to support you. Our first session was scheduled for 12 May. Unfortunately, that one's already filled up. It filled up in about 24 hours, and we limit it to 25 people to make sure we can still have interactivity. We'll be delivering these over Zoom, the entire Trinity one-on-one feedback coaching delegation, as well as the Trinity rollout. All of those topics in five sessions, interactive, again, using Zoom. Our second session is open. It is starting to fill up, but it starts the first 2 hours of the five sessions will be on 14 May. So if you have any interest, come to the website, check it out. Thanks.
Welcome to Career Tools. This week, layoff signs and what to do about them. The questions this cast answers are, what should I look for to anticipate layoffs? And what should I do if I see those signs? It amazes me always that people are surprised by layoffs, that they say, oh, I was blindsided. I had no idea that layoffs were coming. Because layoffs are rarely a sudden reaction to a decline in a company. It's rare that the situation deteriorates so rapidly that layoffs are needed without any warning. There's usually lots and lots of hints. There's usually lots of things that happen before layoffs that tell you that the company may be on the path to layoffs. And if you know how to spot those signs, then you can do something about it early. And that's what we want to do. So we're going to talk about the signs, and then we're going to talk about what to do.
So we're going to cover what to do. The company lost money, your department is falling behind, cost cutting, hiring freezes, and secretive meetings. Fancy.
Yes. We're going to start with what to do, because in the second half, we're going to talk about the scenarios, the situations you may find yourself in. And what we want to do is make sure that if you suddenly realize that's the scenario that I'm in, that you know what to do. And different scenarios give you different hints on how long you have. So the company will be doing different things depending on how far they are down the road towards layoff. And that gives you a hint as to how long you have to find a new job. And we have lots of casts that cover the type of things we're going to recommend now in more depth. So we're going to refer to other casts a lot so that you can go and find deeper information if you find that that's the thing that you need to do.
The first thing that we recommend that you do is print your contact information. And we mean the contact information of other people, right? So in our previous guidance about layoffs, we have a cast called the Annual Layoff Immunization. And we recommend that you print the contact information that you have on people. Most people responded to that by asking if we had joined the 21st century. And then, you know, do you guys realize that contact information is available online? Which is really, that's adorable. Since your access to online information is predicated on your position and all kinds of things. So we're just going to go ahead and say it. It's been 11 years and we still think that you should do this immediately. Print your contact list. You might lose access to your work email, your work phone, your tablet, other electronics overnight. You might be frozen from your things. And if you lose access, you won't have access to these contact details. And if you think you know someone's email address, I promise you, you don't. Even if the format for their office is, you know, first initial, last name. Okay, great. I know three people at my previous company whose names are Dave Johnson. So good luck with that. Like, you know, it's slightly ludicrous to assume that you'll have access to that.
My dad doesn't have a middle name. And when they did the email addresses where he used to work at British Airways, you had to have a middle name. So they invented one. So it, like he was, I don't know, Irving J. Lord, but there's no J. If you knew him, I'm not sure you would have known his middle name. And even if you knew that he didn't have one, you wouldn't have been able to guess his email address.
So true. Also, just even in terms of phone numbers, the only phone numbers, I guess, that I still have memorized are landlines for family members. I mean, I know my own cell phone number, but that's it. And I mean, we have a contact sheet as well. I keep a card in my wallet that has people's numbers written on it because otherwise there's no way to get a hold of them. And so you need to sync your contacts, go in, sync your stuff, your phone, your, you know, Outlook, whatever it is, from everywhere to your email, and then print them out and take that list home. Also, you should do this once a year, regardless. So make sure specifically that you have all of your work contacts, any recruiters you know or would like to know, include internal contacts to departments. HR is the obvious one. And you might have a separate payroll department, pensions, an alumni department that you'll want to contact later. You need to know how to get a hold of them. In addition, you really probably want to make sure that you have access at home to business news or other services that you want to continue. So, for example, if your organization pays for your subscription to, you know, industry magazines or things like that, you want to make sure that you've continued that service yourself because changes to the access might require emailing a new password to your work email address. And that might no longer exist, or you might not be able to access it. And then suddenly you don't have access to industry publications, which might actually be something that you really need coming up in order to know where you might want to look for a job.
Yeah. And that happens once a week. Once a week we get an email from someone that says, hey, I had a managed tools license. It was going to my work email address. They've changed the email addresses. I no longer have access to it because I've changed jobs. I've left that company. And they're putting in, you know, a password reset and it's going to that email address that they can't get to. So there's all sorts of reasons why you might lose access to something and then need to do a password reset that goes to your business email. But layoffs are one of them. And so doing something in advance of that to make sure that you still have access after you've gone is a smart thing to do.
Absolutely. And it's really simple. It's probably 15 minutes worth of work max. And then you have it.
Right.
And then you're set. So that's first. Second, inventory your desk. Layoffs often cause a sudden loss of access to everything that's on your desk and your desktop. So inventory your desk for all the things that you might find helpful in your next role. Look at documents you've created that you might find useful later, presentations you would like to refer to when interviewing, you know, something like a useful information file, a record of the meetings from your calendar. If you do a search on your hard drive for all the documents you've created or opened in the last year, you should find the most useful documents that you would need. And if they're older than that, they're probably not as useful as you hope, right? Because they haven't been accessed recently. So you're looking at something that's probably obsoleted just over time. Once you have those documents, once you know what they are, email them to your personal email address and download them at home. And we don't mean just email them. We actually mean download them because a link might be something you don't have access to in the future either. right? Especially if it's an internal link. So you have to download it at least. I mean, you don't have to print it, but you do have to download it so that you really have the document in your hands.
And there's a difference between things that you might find useful later that you created that are your personal shortcuts to things versus downloading a bunch of company information that you could use later to set up a competitor. That's completely different and is not necessarily illegal, but it's definitely in that gray area of being unethical. So we're talking about personal documents that you created that are shortcuts for you, that are things that you can use to be effective in another job, not competitive information.
Mm-hmm. Even small things, you know, like your personal travel information might be saved on your work computer. If the primary computer you use is at work, then there is going to be some stuff on there that's just applicable to you that you might need access to. I wonder, I don't use 1Password because I have a different system for passwords, but I wonder if, you know, your 1Password stuff, you might need to write it down somewhere.
Yeah, there's I can't remember what they call it, like an emergency code or something that they tell you to write down. But yeah, you're right. There's another thing. If you can't get into 1Password because it goes to your work email,
right,
you've lost access to every single thing you have, yeah, which is infuriating.
Okay, next. This is one of my favorites. Review your finances. If there's even a hint of a layoff, like a breeze nearby that smells like layoff, you need to start saving money right now. And I mean, I don't know, maybe I'm overly cautious. I would say that's the case for many people regardless. When we talked about this previously in our Getting Laid Off Finances Rule podcast, we said that our experience tells us that what most managers do when they're laid off, even if they have some sense that things are not going well and might reasonably be expected to think about what might happen to them if the axe does fall, they think about getting another job. And here's the problem with that conventional wisdom. Managers start thinking about finding another job, but they don't think about what they're going to be doing for 60 days after the layoff when, for whatever reason, they haven't found a job. Of course, finding a job is the solution. It is the way out. And managers routinely underestimate how long a job search is going to take. Many times when there's a hint of a layoff, managers and professionals, they put their head in the sand, kind of, right? They pretend they haven't noticed the hints. And these are the people who suffer when there are layoffs. You should act now, review your finances with your spouse, increase your liquid capital, assume that you would be out of work for 6 months or more. And if you get a job before then, or you're not laid off, hey, you can take a vacation or spend that money on something fun or, you know, do a, I don't know, interior decorating update or a remodel in the kitchen, something like that.
Yeah.
But don't spend it all. You never know what's going to happen. And having 6 months of salary saved for emergencies gives such a solid peace of mind. It reduces the amount of fear associated with this situation. And it means that you don't have to accept a job, really. If what you're thinking is, no, I'll get another job. What it means is you don't have to accept the first job. You could say, oh, this isn't exactly what I want. Maybe I want to wait for the next job because we'll be okay for 6 months. So something to think about.
Right. When people ask us, or they send us emails and say, I've applied to 20 jobs and I haven't got anything, one of the questions I always ask is, how long do you have? How much, like, and it's a very indelicate question, but it's hard to ask in a tactful way. But basically what I mean is, how much money do you have and how long will that last you? Because if you only have 4 weeks of money, then you have to get a job in 4 weeks. And that reduces your choices. That means you have to take something that maybe isn't ideal in a number of ways. Whereas if you have 6 months, you have at least 3 months of being fussy, of looking for something that you really want. And then if you haven't found anything in 3 months, then you have to be a little less fussy. But you want to make career decisions based on your own timing and your own choices. If somebody lays you off and you have no money, they just decided your career decision for you. They decided it's now and you've got to find something else. Whereas if you have money, you can wait.
Yeah, you have more flexibility because you're prepared.
Exactly.
Another way to get prepared is to buy a phone. Most of us, we have one phone, the one the company provides us, and we think of these kinds of electronics as ours, and they're not. They belong to the company. And honestly, while they might not do it, they are completely entitled to look at who you're calling, the apps you've downloaded, who you've been texting, what's in the text. And one of our mottos, as you just mentioned about changing jobs, is do it when you want to, not when you're forced to. If the company was to find out that you're already on the job changing track, they might move you from undecided to layoff only because the people who make those decisions might feel that you're going to be okay, that you have a plan, that you're more prepared than someone else. So you should consider, if there are signs of a layoff, buying a new phone. It doesn't need to have an expensive plan or be the latest iPhone. You know, that's not a problem to us. In 2019, a cheap phone is about $30, and you get a free gift card for $25 worth of minutes. You can use this phone to contact your network, talk to recruiters.
Use that number on your resume. I had a guy come to look at my heating today, and he had a flip phone. You know, with real buttons on it and everything. And it worked perfectly for what he wanted to do, which was call in my credit card numbers. You know, just because it looks antique doesn't mean it doesn't work. You know, I looked in Walmart and Target and Best Buy, there's lots of phones for $30 or $40. And like you just said, half the time you get a gift card for the amount of the phone in minutes. So you're not losing anything. And you could buy that now on a month where you're not worried about layoffs and put it in a drawer, and it will work just as well in a year's time if that's when layoffs comes. So one month when you've got $40 extra or you know, you don't go to Starbucks, then just buy a phone, put it in the drawer. It's ready if you need it.
Use that gift card you've got left over from Christmas that you can't figure out what to do with it.
Yeah, because it's only $40, right? And you're like, well, I can't buy anything good with that. No, just buy a spare phone.
Right. My friend Gary has a flip phone for his ranch house because there's no service. And one of the great things about it is because it's antique, you can't get as much information on it, right? So it's not as bothersome. You don't get notifications from 40 different apps and all that stuff. So if you're a person who wishes they spent less time on their phone, you could always get a flip phone. Super cool. They still make them.
Yes, they do. And we're assuming here that you already have a personal email address. And if you don't have a personal email address, go to Google and do that right now. You need an email address that you can correspond with people about your job search that is not going through your company's servers.
And something adult, guys, professional, your first name, dot your last name, you know, not the year that you were born or like an anniversary year, right? Something you feel comfortable saying out loud at the grocery store in line would be a good measurement for the appropriateness of what you put in your personal email address.
A friend of mine who is a professional, his personal email address has something to do with Corvettes. And every time I look at it, there's nothing rude about it. There's no bad words or anything. I just can't remember what it is specifically. But every time I look at it, I just think, really, you should change that. It's too personal, I guess. Like, it's something about his interests, and it makes it personal in a semi-professional environment, which is where I know him from.
It's also worth considering, guys, Wendy mentioned Gmail. You should use Google, Yahoo, Hotmail. These old domain names, while there's nothing inherently wrong with having them, they're not only slightly dated, they also don't provide the same amount of storage. And all of them are free. There's nothing there. But Google gives you like this massive amount of data, storage, archive stuff. And honestly, their service is easiest to use as well. And it syncs better.
A friend of mine who's like 25 has an AOL address. I'm not sure he was even born when AOL was handing out addresses.
Yeah.
And there's another time where I just think, every time I see it, I think, that's really odd. You know, use Gmail. That's what everybody's doing. We don't often recommend what the cool kids are doing, but the cool kids are using Gmail.
Yes, it's for a technology reason, right? Like, yes. Yeah, AOL. Wow. My mom has a Yahoo address.
Mine too. And that should just tell everybody that it's a bad idea.
Yeah.
That our moms are using it.
Yeah. Good. Okay. You need that address so you can use it to send your resume, which is our next bit of guidance. Get your resume ready, which means pulling it out at home, not at work, along with your career management document and making sure your resume is up to date and shows you in your best light. If layoffs are imminent, you probably don't have much choice in what you're going to apply for. You need something very similar to what you're doing now because those are the jobs that'll be easiest and fastest for you to get. So can take that into consideration. If you have 3 to 6 months and it's your industry or area that's going through difficulties, not just the company, you should look for roles which are slightly to the left or right of what you're doing. For example, let's say you're doing IT project management to support digital advertising. We already know that companies in that area are struggling. Look for IT project management roles in a company like MailChimp, which provides services for email advertising, or a company such as Amazon, which hosts digital advertising on its own successful platform. These are just a little bit off enough. Otherwise, your field is flooding the, I mean, right? I have a friend who just went through this because of a merger. Their office was being obsoleted because of this merger, and their whole office, right? Especially because it's all local mm-hmm. people, they don't want to move. The jobs in their office, like those specific jobs, which was hotel auditing, they were all flooded at other locations, right? Every other hotel chain in the Phoenix area was flooded. And that auditing position in other areas was open in a lot of different kind of companies, but not hotels. And so it's just a little off. It just increases your chances that your job search will go well.
You want to move a little bit away from where the crowd is.
Yeah.
Auditing, you can audit anything. I mean, you could stay in the leisure industry or the travel industry and do auditing for, you know, attractions or airlines or other travel things. You could also do auditing consulting and then consult to hotels. Mark jokes sometimes, the way to get a consulting job is to get fired, which is true. A lot of consultants get fired and then think, oh, I'll just do this on my own. So that's another way to do it. If you just think left or right of where you are, just so one step, you still have enough relevant experience and you step away from where everybody else is trying to get jobs. And the further away that you think layoffs are, the further away you can move from what you're doing now. So often people say, how do I change from being an accountant in an IT firm to working in a nonprofit? That's a big jump because you're working currently for a commercial company into nonprofits. There's a lot of people whose entire careers are in nonprofits. And so if it's you against somebody who has an entire career in nonprofits, then the nonprofit will choose that person. So anytime that you're trying to move between industries or in geographical terms, you're making it harder because it's less easy to see how relevant your experience is and other people have more relevant experience. So the further away the layoff, the further you can go from what you're doing right now because you have time to find the person that you can convince that you're a safe bet, even though you're moving industries. If you need something right now, then you need to find something as close to what you're doing right now as you can, because that's the thing you can be most convincing about in an interview. It's a strategic choice, but it's also a tactical one, because in terms of tactics, you need to tailor your resume to the jobs you want. And so you need to know what you're going for. So we've been through 5 things you need to do if you think a layoffs are coming. So we'll stop here because we don't want to give you too many things to do. And next week we'll pick up with some more things to do and then the hints that a layoff is coming so that you know whether or not you need to do all of these things right now.
Folks, that's it for part one. Tomorrow, you don't have to wait a week this time, we'll do Layoff Signs Part 2. See you then.